Good day. This is Health on the Hill. I'm Jackie Judd. We're actually going south of the hill today to Richmond, Virginia, and the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. Two cases challenging the constitutionality of the health care reform law were heard there by a three-judge panel. In both cases, the key issue is whether most Americans can be required to obtain health insurance, as the 14-month-old law mandates. Arianne DeVogue, who covers legal issues for ABC News, is there and joins us now. Hello, Arianne.
Hi, Jackie.
As I mentioned, Arianne, there were two cases, as you well know. Liberty University challenged the individual mandate. It lost, so it appealed to the court today. The second case, the federal government, of course, argued for the mandate in a case that was brought by the state of Virginia, so the federal government appealed. What were the key points in these arguments?
Well, the heart of the government's argument was argued, first of all, by Solicitor General Neil Katyal. He's the Solicitor General, and it shows how seriously the administration is taking this case. He said that this law was passed because health care was in crisis. There was ballooning costs. He pointed a couple of times to the fact that in 2008, the costs of the uninsured reached $43 billion. He said that the Constitution empowers Congress to regulate commerce. Even if you don't buy health insurance, you're affecting the market. So that was his argument.
And the other side in Liberty University's case?
Well, in both cases, the challengers on the merits said that Congress exceeded its authority, that Congress doesn't have the right to force someone into the marketplace. They made the distinction between economic activity and inactivity. And they said that when somebody doesn't buy health insurance, that's inactivity.
What kind of questions and challenges did the judges, all of them Democrats, I should say, they were picked randomly, but they were all Democrats. What kind of questions and challenges did they present to the lawyers?
Well, it's interesting because, as you say, the court only announced this morning that the three-judge panel were all nominated by Democratic presidents, two from Obama and one from Clinton. That, at the start, is good for the Obama administration. And they immediately, on the merits, seemed to question the core of the challenger's argument. They, all three of them, went at this notion of activity versus inactivity, and they seemed skeptical. One of the judges said, you know, what's the dividing line, you know, between inactivity and activity? So they spent the entire first case just talking about the merits.
And when are we expecting rulings in both of these cases? And when that does happen, does it signal when these cases, if they do reach the Supreme Court, when that might happen?
Well, we expect, of course, it depends if there's going to be a dissent written, right? That would take longer. Most people say that this is a speedy circuit. They work quickly. So people believe that between 2.5 and 3 months, we'd get a decision in this case. But keep in mind, there are two other appellate courts across the country hearing challenges, and they're scheduled in early June. So all in all, this one would probably be decided in about 2.5 to 3 months. There could be a decision made to what's called go en banc, which is to ask the entire panel to hear this case, or it could be directly appealed to the Supreme Court.
Arianne, you've covered the Supreme Court for many years. Is there an informed way to guess which of the many cases challenging the health care reform law will actually make it to the high court? The largest case is probably the one in which 26 states are participating.
Well, Jackie, you bring up a very good point, because that issue came up today in the second case, the case brought by the Commonwealth of Virginia. That case was about standing, because the government argues that the Commonwealth could not bring this case. It does not have the legal right to bring it, because the individual mandate is not enforceable to the states, but to individuals. So Virginia argues that it had a state law on the books that was in conflict with this federal law, and that's why they could bring the suit. But the government was very strong, saying that the Commonwealth of Virginia couldn't bring the state. So we look at the other cases. Some are by residents, and the big one to be argued on June 8th is on behalf of 26 states. So it'll be very interesting to see how that comes down.
Okay, we'll talk to you again then. Thank you so much, Ariane DeVogue of ABC News.
Thanks.